The Afterburn Podcast is a proud supporter of Guns Gear and Memorial Foundation, helping our veterans and their families when they need it most. To learn more, visit gunsgearin.com/rain.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Being in the military, and you see you get a lot of different opportunities, see a lot of different leadership styles, and very dynamic and challenging situations, and how people handle those. And you know, over the years, that you just really get to build up your toolbox to apply in the civilian world. That is undoubtedly the biggest benefit to try and thrive in the civilian quote unquote leadership environment, was taking all those lessons learned that I don't want to talk out of my lane, but I don't think that someone who's flying for the majors really gets the opportunity to do that when they most certainly could. Right. It's just that they don't have the opportunity to apply it where I do. And it's dealing with, I'll go from flying DCA on a Tuesday to sitting in a board meeting on Wednesday. And oftentimes I wonder, how did I get here? I guess there really is a lot, even though we're not specifically talking about flying, the point is that there's a lot of value in just seeing the decision-making and how to manage yourself in stressful and dynamic situations to apply in the real world.
Tower, Demire Spaces, release to you, runway 411, 0400 at 5, clear for takeoff.
Seat tied, Altimeter 0 eyes, we're clear for takeoff, clear for the airspace.
Fire protect 2.
Yeah, it's finding the life balance. You know, that's the name of the game, and it's not always the easy thing to do.
Correct.
It's easy to get lost. Alf and I were talking earlier. It's like you can get wrapped up really quick because this is a busy lifestyle and a busy job, and be able to pull yourself back and actually take a assessment of what's important.
Yep.
Not always done well. Usually it's a few licks to figure it out.
100%. You know, so. And it never happens in your 20s. It takes, you know, having a couple of years of marriage. I don't have kids, but maybe you do. And you find that people start to re-rack and stack their goals, for sure.
I was thinking, like being like a young lieutenant or young captain, like working and scheduling, just grinding it out.
Yeah.
Like you're like just trying to figure out the tactics, sure. Be the best wingman, best flight lead. Yep. You know, by the way, you got this job that it requires 25 hours a day.
Yep.
You know, to do it plus the weekends, and man, it'd be soul crushing. Yep. So I think it's gotten a little bit better. Like, I don't know if guys are always going in on the weekends. That used to be like the norm, at least active duty
really?
Was.
Yeah. I always heard that. I didn't know if it was actually true or not.
Yeah. Guys would go in like all the time. I had some good boss when I showed up to Shaw, but I mean, I would go in. That was a FAPE, but I was doing scheduling then, so I would have to usually go in on Sunday to finalize the schedule or tweak it. Like, maybe you get the Monday built, and then you move on. So
yeah.
But hey, thanks for sitting down. Today it's an amazing spot to be sitting out here in South Carolina, beautiful Sumter, South Carolina, but for the Guns Gear Memorial Golf Tournament. Yeah. Want to talk a little bit about that, but I want to talk a little bit about you before we get rolling.
Absolutely.
So, how did you get involved in aviation? How did you land in the seat you're sitting in right now?
Sure. So I don't come from a military background. I don't come from an aviation background. The reality is I got lucky. I had a very productive conversation with the right guy at the right time when I was a sophomore in college. A family friend introduced me to a pilot at McIntyre, and I wasn't familiar with the Guard at the time. But he explained it to me, he explained the possibilities, and what was most appealing to me was the ability to have a civilian job and still be in the military, and particularly fly in the military. And so I said, that's it, that sounds perfect. And I came out to McIntyre and talked to, the senior guys at the time, and they said, we recommend you do these 3 to 4 things. And I just blindly said, yes, sir, will do. So I did everything they said and was fortunate enough to get hired, actually in the same way that Guns got hired, hired straight into McIntyre to be a pilot. And I was still in college at the time, so I finished that up and then went to pilot training. And it was just kind of history from there. But I had the privilege of working with Guns, and he and I both enlisted in the unit. We both kind of had the similar path, and we worked in the same shop. So he and I were actually enlisted together for, I don't know, not very long, maybe a year to a year and a half. But either way, that's how it all started, was the right conversation with the right guy.
What'd you do on the enlisted side of the house?
I was actually flight equipment.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was like, that is the key at McIntyre is... It allows you to be in the ops group, right, and to interact with the people that you're hopefully trying to convince to hire you later. And it also meant I only had to take one semester off from school at the time, which was a big deal.
Yeah.
And so it just worked out.
That's funny. I've never been in the Guard. Got a lot of buddies who are in the Guard, and I've talked to a lot of people about joining the Guard. And that was my one thing. It's like, one, if you go to the Guard, like, you're probably going to have to enlist. Not all the time, but, you know, you guys want to hire a known quantity. So someone who's coming, that's grown up in the unit, you know how they are.
That's right.
You're not taking a risk.
Yep.
But I was like, the other thing is, like, if you're going to the military, get some other like skill set that you can use outside. But if you want to be a pilot, get that skill set, but you need to do it in a spot where you're interfacing with the pilots of the squadron that they get to know you and you can ask them questions and they know, like, hey, this dude or dudette really wants to fly.
100%.
So it's all networking, right? I mean, everything in life is networking.
That's correct. And particularly when you're trying to go for a goal like this, when you're effectively buying this guy for 20 years, you know, you're maybe flying with him that long and you're going to be all over the world with him in uncomfortable positions. You just don't want to do it with a guy that aggravates you, right? It is very important to be comfortable with what they're hiring. Yeah. And so it worked out very fortunately for me, and obviously worked out very fortunate for Guns as well, but he was going to be successful no matter where he went. But luckily it was at McIntyre.
McIntyre, great spot. Talk to me a little bit about how was it going through pilot training for you? Like, did you have any flight time prior to going to pilot training?
Well, that was one of the things that I was advised to do, was just go get a pilot's license. Okay. So I came back from basic training. I had a handful of cash and it was summertime. So I just went and got my pilot's license that summer. I'm not even sure. That would have been the summer of 2003, I believe. Okay. And I did that small little airport in South Carolina. And that's where I showed up. 0 hours and said, let's get a private pilot's license. And that was that. So, you know, the standard, just get your 40 hours, take your checker out, right, and then just start building some time. And I was fortunate enough to have access to a plane at the time. So I didn't build a ton of time because it's still very expensive when you're in college. And even more so now, of course, but that's how I
don't even want to know what AVGAS is. Like, I was thinking, I worked at
FBO,
I worked at an FBO at tail end of high school and then college.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was getting my private pilot's license, like, AVGAS was $2.25 a gallon. Like, I would love to pay $2.25 a gallon for regular gas.
For your car. Yes, that's right.
There was one guy at the airport, he prepaid fuel and he bought like 1,000 or 10,000. It was an insane amount of fuel that he prepaid, when it was like $1.85 a gallon. So, you know, after 9/11 and everything just started just skyrocketing, like, he was making out like a banshee.
I tell you what, I flew into Nashville. This has probably been a year now, but I think I paid $9 a gallon.
It's crazy. I don't know.
Still cheaper than an airline ticket, but man, it hurts.
Yeah, you know, that stings. You're getting the freedom to go point A to point B on your timeline,
that's right,
more or less. So there's some premium pay that goes with that. But yeah, that stings. Now, I don't know enough about it, but I've seen some of the headlines, you know, talking about removing lead or going away from AVGAS with going an unleaded route. So it's like, it's going to keep getting more and more expensive.
That's right.
Going down this path. So
there's no, you're exactly right. And I honestly don't keep my finger on the pulse that much with the prices. I don't fly enough general aviation to really be able to know where it's at. Of course, it's not cheap. But nothing's going to change to make it. There will be no revolution right. that makes it significantly cheaper.
It's not. Well, it's like even if the product was cheaper,
yeah.
like you're already paying this price.
That's
like
right.
we're never going back
That's
to the
right.
way it was. So
100%.
What I pull from that too is as a relatively young dude
yeah.
who went to basic training, show back up with a ton of cash as a college student.
I wouldn't call it a ton of cash.
Well,
some cash.
Some cash. You invested in yourself. Yeah, which I mean, that would have been easy to spend it in other places.
Sure,
like
sure.
I remember I bought a big old TV, you know, which
classic now, purchase.
Yeah, you're like, this is perfect. And they had to move it, the Air Force had to move it around in a crate.
Sure.
You know, for a couple of years. You're like, this is silly because now you just buy them for $150
right.
bucks. But,
right.
you know, times change and evolve. Listen to your timeline too. So 2003, back up a few years, 9/11. Where were you 9/11? Was that any kind of push for you to join and serve? Or you just like, hey, I just want to fly?
So I actually enlisted in 2002. It, of course it was, but and I hate to say that it just sort of, I'm not going to call it a catalyst, but it certainly increased the momentum.
Okay.
If that makes sense, you know, I don't actually remember. I think it was actually after 9/11 when I had that conversation with the individual I mentioned earlier, right around Christmas, and then enlisted the following July of 2002 would have been the timeline. And, you know, and then from there, we've kind of already hinted on basic training the following, that would have been January of 2003, and then got hired in the summer of 2004, and then left for pilot training late 2005.
Okay.
Something like that.
So now,
long time ago.
Yeah. Well, now, hey, you mentioned 21 years. I mean, you know,
that's
a pretty good run.
Yeah.
Talk to me. So how many hours do you have in the Viper? So your guard baby and your Viper.
That's right.
Viper dude, through and through.
Honestly, I'm not exactly sure. I'm going to call it 2,400 hours.
Yeah, once you trip a certain point, it's
a lot, which is actually crazy because there were times when I flew at McIntyre with people who, in a four-ship, we might have 14,000 hours in the four-ship. I've flown there were several people, probably five people at one time that had over 4,000 hours at wow. McIntyre. And so in a four-ship, you could feasibly have 16,000.
Yeah.
More than 16,000.
And I want to say, you know, we obviously go back and peel back the onion here.
Yeah.
Depending on the timeline of that, the majority of that time, you know, the guys, like even myself, right? Like I racked up a lot of time flying like 7.0s
yep,
and 6.5s.
Right. Yep.
You know, in the 90s, while there was Northern Watch, Southern Watch, you know, Kosovo, it's still, I don't know. I mean, I feel like those guys are probably racking up a lot of time doing 1.5s and 1.3s.
Probably.
You know, that's
back when you triple turned.
There's a lot of time up and down the ladder, you know?
Sure.
But also a different time too. Like while Seed was around
yeah.
and there were still some complex mission sets.
Yeah.
Maybe you're just going out and doing BFM. So you can just go fly, fight. And yeah. it's not going to be an 18-hour debrief.
That's right.
Unless you're an Eagle guy, I guess. Yeah. But,
you're right. I also accumulated quite a bit of time going back and forth across the Atlantic and flying circles in various places around the world. So I've checked that box several times over now.
Yeah. Talk to me about a few of the points. You got any like standout ones that were impactful or things?
I would say the one that was certainly most unique was Afghanistan 2012. It was impactful, may not be the best word, but it'll be the one that I remember the most. And it had a lot to do with the people. I know we've talked about, even before we started this interview, was just how important the people are in the organization. And there was still is a great crowd, but at that particular moment, I hadn't been flying that many years. I had been a captain for 2 years or something like that. Yeah. It doesn't really matter, but, certainly still learning a lot, but also somewhat experienced, or at least I thought I was, and had a lot of fun, but just really got to see. That was the one that I can say that I felt like actually helped the guys on the ground, right, which is what we were there to do, and over that deployment did that the most, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that would be the one.
Yeah, I'm trying
to think. The one we tell the most stories about anyway.
Really? Okay, well, I'll talk about it because, you know, ironically enough, I was there when you guys were there. I was doing MC-12, so definitely not as much fun. But
yeah.
I think, was it the Iowa guys were there before you, or you guys, I can't remember which one changed out, but Vapor Sparks.
Yeah.
I think he was just a young wingman
at the
time.
That's right.
He and I did pilot training together. Okay. And then re-merged, like shows up in Afghanistan at that time. Like, that's Camp funny. Lozano, and then
you're going way back.
Yeah,
here.
Way back. I was like, here's what's etched in my mind is the British Chow Hall, which was like right by our camp.
Yep.
Like, I'll never eat curry again. Everything is curry. Everything is curry. I'm like, if I never eat curry again, like, I'll be fine. Like, sometimes I would walk, I don't know what the other one, you know, down by like the boardwalk, there's like another chow hall.
Yep.
But it was during the summertime when it was like hot and like the poopon was just.
That's right.
Wind was blowing.
It was either that or the dust. It's always something.
It was soul crushing. You're like, I'll just starve.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
I'll steal this. But yeah.
No, eat beef jerky and Ritz in my room and call it good.
Yeah. That's it. It's something else. I kind of different for you. I know you do fly on the civilian side, mm-hmm. but not airlines. Can you talk to me like the blend between, you know, being a fighter pilot in the Guard and then managing business and doing other things outside? Like, how does that work for you?
Sure. So it's, there are very few of us at McIntyre who have a civilian job that is not flying for the airlines. And it's, I've always said it for me, it makes it easier just being part of one of the owners of the company that I'm helping run gives me a lot of freedom. That's just the reality of it. And so I would say it's a lot more difficult, like I alluded to, than sometimes people that are work for majors and have to fly so many hours. But the biggest kind of parallel is being in the military, and you see you get a lot of different opportunities, see a lot of different leadership styles, and very dynamic and challenging situations and how people handle those. And, you know, over the years that you just really get to build up your toolbox to apply in the civilian world. That is undoubtedly, that's the biggest benefit to try and thrive in the civilian quote unquote leadership environment, was taking all those lessons learned that I don't want to talk out of my lane, but I don't think that someone who's flying for the majors really gets the opportunity to do that when they most certainly could. Right. It's just that they don't have the opportunity to apply it where I do. And it's dealing with, you know, I'll go from flying DCA on a Tuesday to sitting in a board meeting on Wednesday. And oftentimes I wonder, how did I get here? What, you know, it's just, I guess there really is a lot, even though we're not specifically talking about flying, the point is that there's a lot of value in just seeing the decision-making and how to manage yourself in stressful and dynamic situations to apply in the real world, really.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, like we already talked about, it's a lot of times it's going to come down to relationships and how you handle people. And I'm sure, like myself, you've seen both good and bad examples in the military.
Yeah, that's what when you see the bad examples, you file that away in the
100%.
I'm not going to be that guy.
That's right. That, you know, certainly hope to not be.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Someone better call me on it. I better not do it, but someone better call me on it if I do it.
That's correct.
I think that's an interesting thread to pull on, because obviously flying a single seat fighter, like any plane, but a single seat, single engine.
Yep.
When things go sideways and at these speeds, they can often be catastrophic and be a very bad day. And I think probably that does translate into like handling stressful situations. Have you got any scenarios, or have there been any kind of like big emergencies or combat scenarios you've popped into that, yeah, when you look back at it, like, hey, like that was a pretty busy time and I either handled it well or I could have done it better?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I was told when I was very young that the things that will scare you the most in this airplane are weather and gas. And being young and naive, I'm like, whatever. That's
right.
That can't be right. Well, it's true.
Yeah,
and in that 2012 deployment, just, you know, flying at night in the weather, sometimes in or around mountains, Looking for the tanker, that was probably the most nerve-wracking experience. And it wasn't an emergency. It was just, I'm trying to support this guy on the ground. He wants me there. The tanker's 200 miles away, and I need him here. I need him to be 50 miles away. It's that kind of comes back to how you, you know, how you start talking to people and telling them what you really need. And let's be clear about what I really need, or else we're going to have a much significant situation. But, you know, as far as emergencies go, you alluded to, you know, single seat, single engine. At the end of the day, it's you in that cockpit. But every time I've had what I would call a significant emergency, luckily it's been good weather days.
Day VFR.
Oh man, just realize how lucky I am after that. But I had a great wingman with me at the time that usually had more experience than me. Now I'm probably the more seasoned guy. And they were always able to, all right, let's slow down a little bit. Let's roll it back. Everything's fine. And we're going to, you know, we're just going to get this place safe. And, you know, of course, like most things with, you eventually realize that it's not a big deal to divert somewhere. It's not a big deal if you have to land at Charleston or Savannah. That's, it's fine. It becomes, it's just really a big inconvenience is all that it is.
Right.
But it's, once you kind of internalize that, things just aren't, I'm not going to say they're not as big of a deal anymore, because thankfully I have not had what I would call a significant emergency, and McIntyre's had its fair share, but I have not been on that list.
Yeah, knock on wood. That's the, I mean, go back, aviate, navigate, communicate, not always the easiest thing to do, and
that's
prioritizing
right.
that stuff. And again, you know, I never lost my motor.
Yeah, right.
Imagine if I lost my motor, it'd be a significant emotional event. I've had my brakes fail.
Okay.
That was less than fun, you know, but like, really, you don't have any options then.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you got very few options, and it's happening very quickly. So there's not a lot of time to think about it.
I did have a high speed abort for hitting a bird. Ended up being fine. I had an auto transfer to SEC about 200 miles off the coast, which was fine. But that first 5 seconds was a little nerve wracking when the thrust decreases whatever percentage.
Was that last year?
No, this was actually on the way down gas station.
Okay, because I was thinking, you know, last year when we were here doing so, we're out at McIntyre or out at Columbia on the Sunday. It might have been Poker who had the auto transfer to SEC coming back, which you know, the decreased thrust, but then when it comes to landing, you have nozzles closed, so you actually have more thrust than idle.
Right.
Again, not necessarily where you want to be. It's Columbia an 8,000 foot runway?
That sounds right. I've already sort of brained up that information, but we had the cable was much closer. You had to decide if you were going to need that cable or not much sooner.
You got the whole runway the last 1,500 feet or so.
Had three transfers a sec, actually.
Really? That's you.
When you say it out loud, it's not a great stat.
It might be you.
It might be me.
It's better. It's at least it's running, right?
That's right. Well, after you've had two, the third one's not a big deal.
Here we are again.
Here we are.
I've done this once. I've done this twice.
That's right.
So you mentioned you and Guns kind of went through more or less same timeline.
Yeah. Well, about 2 years.
Okay.
About 2 years after me, something like that. He was a couple years younger.
Okay.
But effectively a parallel sort of path. He was just behind me. Also flight equipment, and he had the playbook on how to get hired, and so he did the same thing. Just ran the playbook. And of course, he's a very likable guy, and so it obviously worked out well for him. And I don't know. I'm going to say it would have been 2005 when he got hired. Just sticking with the 2 years later, or no, excuse me, 2006. Maybe it was 2007, but in either case, he enlisted, flight equipment, and came right after me.
Now, sometimes it's nice to have the playbook. You know, I always want to be on the leading edge.
Yeah.
You know, have to go pave the way.
Sure.
But can you, any gun storage, anything that pops out? Like when you think of guns, like what comes to mind?
Yeah. The number one thing that always comes to mind was just, he always had a great attitude. And you know, sometimes we think we're in, and y'all, we're in a TDY and this stinks and this is not fun, but it's really not that bad. Maybe he just realized that before everyone else did, or he just saw the humor in the situation, yeah. But he certainly brought a levity in a good way to whatever was going on at the time. And, you know, the other piece to that was, you know, he stayed full-time most of his career, and eventually me being part-time now, probably three quarters of my career, it got to where I was coming back and asking the young guys the questions, right? You know, at some point you go from being the knowledgeable guy to transitioning to having to lean on the young crowd. And he was part of that. And so, it was always easy. Hey, Guns, come over here. You know, let me ask you a little something and make sure I understand what we're talking about here. And he handled that, you know, better than anyone. So he, obviously went to weapons school and really got on the kind of a very aggressive path there, and which everyone was excited about, myself included. And it's obviously unfortunate the way things went, but he was a foundation. You knew what you were going to get, if that makes sense. Always going to have a great attitude, and he was always very approachable.
And that piece of it, I think, is a thread I keep hearing, and something that really stands out to me is like, when you have older guys or more seasoned guys, because again, the dynamics of a guard unit is different. Like, you're doing it part-time, He's in it full-time, in the weeds, weapons officer.
Right.
But being comfortable or willing to reach back, and obviously trust, because There can be a cockiness, there can be attitude that I've seen those, we've all seen those, like, relationships kind of develop that way. You're like, whatever, dude, I know you're a patch, but I'm skipping it. But the willingness to kind of go back speaks volumes for the type of person is. And then obviously it's very unfortunate the way things played out, being out here at the golf tournament and seeing what the foundation has done in such a short time span to carry on his legacy. And then the veteran families and veterans that the foundation has been able to help is phenomenal to see. And seeing people who had usually the worst moment of their life compile with some kind of financial burden or whatever it might be, and have the foundation step in really quickly is pretty amazing to see that carry on.
No, you're exactly right. And you know, the speed and the ease with which this foundation operates is, what do you need? We'll get it to you tomorrow. You know, it's, there's a lot to be said for that.
It's huge.
I can only imagine, what it would be like to walk in those shoes. But the last thing, you know, there are certain things that are very important when a tragic event happens, and worrying about how you're going to pay your mortgage should not be one of those, right?
Absolutely.
Or whatever those bills are that are sitting on the table. And the way that Kelly and all the other people that are involved in this organization have handled that, it's just been, tell me what you need and we'll make it happen. And that's very refreshing, because that's not how most of the world works anymore.
I was just talking to Michael about that side, because the frustration that I have experienced, you know, either like military, whatever it might be, it's usually tied to bureaucracy and red tape. And
that's right.
Like, you just can't get things done that you need to get done.
That's right.
And seeing here, we're like, so there's a need, and within 24 hours, a check is landing in someone's bank account to remove that burden, or to help ease it so that they can go to a funeral, they can pay for groceries, whatever it might be.
Yep.
You just don't find it that often in this world.
And it's getting worse. And so that is, you know, that's of the many, of all the things, that is just one that really makes this organization great. Yeah, for sure.
As before we kind of wrap up, you know, your guard knowledge and the depth here, can you talk to me just how is McIntyre, how is like the F-16 in general kind of transitioned over your career? Because correct me if I'm wrong, but the Viper today is actually even a much different Viper than it was when you started flying it, you know, in the early 2000s.
Right, I've already told you I'm old. I'm not going to date myself that much when I started.
I mean, A's the radar, you know, center pedestal.
When I tell you the original MMC.
How many steer points did you have?
How did you get to the steer point? Did I have to roll to the steer point?
I didn't have to do that.
Yeah. No. You know, yes, you're right. It. When I came back to McIntyre, you know, the hardware, obviously the radar has been the most significant hardware upgrade that we've had, because I came back to helmets and, you know, it was a it was an MMC Block 52 airplane, right? That's all I've ever really known. So going through the B course was the Block 42. Yeah, I don't remember, obviously.
Yeah, because they had 42s and then they had 25s for a bit.
Yep.
I went through the 42 and there was one squadron of 25s
okay.
when I went through.
Yeah.
And like we had Link 16, kind of, you know, right. it sometimes worked.
Yep.
You had to do Link off rides or, yeah, you got to
sure.
see, you
know, sure.
some, make it tough.
So I originally went through without Link 16 and, you know, coming back to one of the premier guard units at one of the most capable F-16 platforms, kind of had the bells and whistles and didn't realize how lucky I was at the time. I've been asked many times, just, you know, God, you know, you don't know how, or been told many times, you don't know how lucky you are to be able to have the pathway that I was able to sneak my way into. Cause if they knew me, they would have never hired me. But, having said that, it has undoubtedly changed. To answer your question, there have been significant, the avionics are what are the most difficult thing to keep up with just
yeah.
as a part-timer, and the tactics are becoming very fluid and very dynamic. And, it is not getting easier to fly the airplane. It is not getting easier to fly it well. That's for sure. The tactics they're tough.
That's, you know, I couldn't hack it. I was like, after doing two and a half years of demo, right? So I'm
right.
removed from the tactics. Even in that time span, there were significant changes that occurred, right? And I'm like, this is going to be painful for
yep.
me to go back into. But now, I mean, you're talking ACE or radar. I don't know if the integrated defense suite popped in. Yeah, I mean, like the threat profile changed.
Oh, man.
Like, all this stuff is rapidly changing.
Yeah.
And because I think flying F-16 is easy. I think inherently take off, land it, like left, right, up, down. After a couple flights, it's not so bad.
Yep.
It is employing it, running, doing the piccolo drill with the different sensors, manipulating, you know, the HOTAS to do what you want, what sensor you want to do what.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that because that's normally how I explain it to it. The plane itself is not difficult. It is using it as a weapon that is so challenging.
Yeah.
and using all the things correctly.
Using them correctly, right? And using the things
the right
that are
time.
Available to you, because we're going to sit and we're going to watch everything you did wrong
that's right.
in front of the group when it's all said and done. But yeah, sure. I appreciate you sitting down and joining me and just
of course.
Chatting here. So it was great.
Pleasure to do so.
Take some of your time. So thanks for joining me.
You got it.
The Afterburn Podcast is a proud supporter of Guns, Gear, and Memorial Foundation, helping our veterans and their families when they need it most. To learn more, visit GunsGarin.com/rain.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.